are listening to The Sun on the Strip. I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer for the Las Vegas Sun, and every Wednesday I'll have an exclusive conversation with someone who's being fabulous on the Las Vegas Strip, as well as an update on what's going on in the world of entertainment here in Vegas. Thanks for listening. I'm back after a couple of weeks off. I took a little bit of a spring break, and obviously a lot has happened lately as Vegas has continued to reopen. The best way for you to stay up to date on all this fun stuff is to go to LasVegasSun.com, click on Entertainment at the top center of the page, and bookmark that sucker. That's where you're going to find everything I write for The Sun and everything I write for Las Vegas Weekly Magazine and Las Vegas Magazine. I'm doing a lot, so try to stay with me, and I'll keep you informed on all things live entertainment, nightclubs and day clubs, restaurants and bars, basically everything you want to do when you come to Vegas or when you hit the Strip. So there have been a lot of opening and reopening announcements in recent weeks, but there are some closures as well. This week, Caesars Entertainment confirmed to me it will not be reactivating live music and shows at several of its smaller venues at different properties across the Strip. The most notable victims of this move are Cleopatra's Barge at Caesars Palace, which will probably reopen soon as a lounge, but without live entertainment, which means Wayne Newton is looking for a new home for his residency. Also, Chippendales at the Rio, Crazy Girls and Tenors of Rock at Planet Hollywood, and X-Rocks at Bally's. Those are just a few. There are some other shows that have been shut down, even though their rooms continue to operate. This is a pretty big deal for these different properties and productions. So I'm going to break it all down with a big story this week on LasVegasSun.com. Go check that out on Thursday. Among the new entertainment events announced this week is another round of Aces of Comedy dates at the Mirage. David Spade, Daniel Tosh, Tim Allen, Ray Romano, and Bill Maher are among the comedians adding shows there this summer and fall. More comedy is coming to Encore Theater at Wynn with Sebastian Maniscalco, Dimitri Martin, Jim Gaffigan, Joe Coy, and others getting on the calendar. And Lionel Richie is returning to his residency of sorts, also at Wynn. His first shows back on the Strip are set for September 24th and 25th, and he has 10 dates in total this fall. Tickets go on sale this Friday. Nightlife is going to explode this summer on the Strip. Clubs haven't been able to operate in the normal way for a long time, and they're not quite there yet, but it's coming very soon. And plus, we have exciting new venues opening this summer and fall at Resorts World, Virgin Las Vegas, and Sahara. At Resorts World, the Zouk Group just unveiled its entire DJ roster for opening season at IU Day Club and Zouk Nightclub. There's some big names in dance music moving over to Resorts World, including DJ Snake, Disclosure, Jamie Jones, DJ Silver, and a whole lot more. You can find my story on that announcement right now at LasVegasWeekly.com. I'm going to let you know about some other openings and comebacks after this week's interview, so hang with me. But right now, let's go back to the Atomic Saloon. One of my favorite new shows to arrive on the Strip in the last few years is at the Grand Canal Shops at Palazzo. It's from Spiegelworld, which also created Absinthe and Opium, and it's a wildly funny and sexy and immersive experience known as the Atomic Saloon Show. It finally reopened on May 5th after enduring the long, hard shutdown. And one of the stars of the show is a brilliant comedian named Petra Massey. She plays Boozy Skunkton, the hilarious MC of the show and the owner of the saloon. But she's done the whole Vegas thing before when she brought her comedy troupe Spy Monkey to the Strip as part of the opening cast of Zumanity about 18 years ago now. Petra actually worked with British director Cal McChrystal on both of these shows, and she's talking about that today on The Sun on the Strip. She's also going to discuss what it was like to not perform for more than a year, how she couldn't get home to see her family in the UK, how she was inspired by Spiegelworld founder Ross Mollison, who put in a lot of hard work to support the cast and crew of the show in these challenging times, and just how excited she is to get back to action. This is my conversation with Petra Massey. How did it feel to return to the Atomic Saloon finally and get back on stage again after such a long absence?
I felt like a bottle being uncorked. Like, I can't tell you. I get adrenaline rushes anyway when I do new work and new material and new shows and, you know, trying something new, you know, for the first time, you know. But the rush that I got after 13 months of not doing any shows or any kind of performance was, it hit me. And it started to bubble actually in the dress rehearsal about probably 2 hours, 3 hours, like a slow bubble. And then it was just rising and rising. And honestly, I felt like I was coming up on drugs. It was amazing. You probably can't put that in, but it really felt like, even now, like I was like on a 100-meter sprint as soon as I came out and said, "Welcome to the Atomic Saloon." And it's like, and then when I had to, because I have 5 costume changes, 5 wig changes. So even when I'm not on stage, which is most of the time, I'm getting changed into another. And like 10 minutes into the show, I was like, oh my God, I don't know if I can get through this. So I just had to get another adrenaline surge. I was just so, so excited to be back on stage. And it still feels really, really good. Really good. I feel so privileged and so lucky. And I feel like in some ways, it was like with all my friends all over the world who have been struggling, still are struggling, don't know, you know, what's going to happen to the industry. It feels like this is the start of a little adrenaline shot. And I really hope that it spreads out and that somehow or other we'll pick up the pieces and our beautiful industry will start to bubble again, basically. It will be in different ways, I'm sure, with different things, with different attitudes. But, you know, we've started the ball rolling. And Spiegelworld, I really feel very strongly, Ross, the boss, is trailblazing the way. You know, nothing will stop that man. It's brilliant. It's brilliant to behold. And I feel very lucky to be in this position right now. And I want it to catch on, but not like the virus.
Yeah, your show was really built a lot of momentum in a short period of time. Atomic Saloon show was only open, I think, for about 5 months.
Yeah.
Before COVID shut everything down. And you guys had some really great reviews. Mm-hmm. And it was like another show on the strip from Spiegelworld. It's like, how are these guys doing this? It was just a hit right off the bat. So it must have been really devastating for such a new show to get paused like that for more.
Well, you know, we opened in Edinburgh, so we had a month at the Edinburgh Festival, and it was a massive hit there, which is actually quite a difficult thing to do because there are so, I don't know if you've ever been to the Edinburgh Festival, there are so many shows. It's the Thespi Festi and a program like a telephone book, you know, full of shows. And it was a hit right off the bat there. So we did a month there. Then we came in, we opened in September and we hit the ground running. And actually we did 8 months in Vegas because we went from September to March the 15th. I remember it like it was yesterday, today. And then, yes, it was ripped from us. Like literally, it was like a freeze frame. Everything stopped. So yes, it was devastating. It was totally devastating. It was like nothing. I'd never ever been through anything like that before. I didn't have any foundation to cling on to. So we all clung on to each other. I mean, you know, we didn't really know each other for that long. I knew a few members of the cast before. But what was in some ways brilliant is it ripped away any of the artifice and you got straight to the nitty-gritty because you had to show your vulnerability. You had to reach out for help. And that not just to the Spiegelworld artists, but the artists in general. I used to be with Zoomanity, so I still got a lot of my buddies here. So the artist community really came together. Spiegelworld were incredibly supportive. But then even my neighbours in the Vegas community and also my son's school, Mojave Springs School, they ended up offering me some volunteer work just for my sanity and to help them out. And I ended up becoming an outreach facilitator and a games teacher at my son's school for about 5 months and helping the school because they got hit by COVID as well. And it was, you know, in some ways, it was extremely, such shaky ground. Such you didn't know where you could walk, where it would suck you, the vacuum would suck you, because more and more bad news kept happening, you know, with friends and families who were getting affected, and, you know, this global thing that was hitting. And yet these beautiful sort of positivities happened as well, where people came together. And I felt very, very lucky in some ways that I had such a supportive, a new crew, but such a supportive crew. And I couldn't get home. You know, I just couldn't get home to see my family and be with my family. I still can't yet. I'm aiming to, you know, now things are opening out, which feels amazing. But yeah, Mojave Spring School and Spiegelworld were very much part and parcel of helping me get through that time.
And Spiegelworld too, of course, really helped kind of pioneer the comeback of shows during all this, getting Absinthe open and keeping it open as long as they could, and then getting it back open again after the holiday, the winter season was finally passed and stuff like that. So everyone I talk to with the company feels very grateful and honored really to be involved with this group right now.
Yeah. Ross got the bit between his teeth, as did the rest of the team, and he wasn't going to let go. He was like a bull terrier from the moment it started. Like, he was in a frenzy to get back. And, you know, we were about to open in October last year, and then that stopped, and nothing stopped him. And I think, you know, how kind of what a leading light he was just trickled down to the rest of the company, including the performers. And it's like, you know, with that kind of guy leading the way, you sort of, it's difficult not to lose faith. I mean, there were times, of course, because, you know, me personally, I've got a kid to feed, and I had no income, and my partner can't work here. So, you know, they kept us going. They kept us going, and they supported us. And, you know, 13 and a half months down the line, we are one of the very few people in the world that are doing live entertainment. Mm. And I'm full of gratitude. I really am. I feel so lucky doing what I love. Doing absolutely what I love, and I missed it so much. There were two things I missed, and I didn't realize. I knew that I missed my home. I knew I missed my family. You know, it was very difficult to get through this time, not being close to them, and very scary. But I didn't realize how much I missed the stage, because I just got on with it. I went into survival mode, Brooke. A light switch went off, and I put another kind of holding light switch on, which was slightly dimmer, but it was my survival light switch. And I just went, all right, and now I've got to put food on the table. Now I've got to look after my kid. I can't go home. I have to stay, and we've got to make the best of it. So we did like little remote tours around America. We ended up living in a shed in Arcata for a little bit of the time with my old school friend that I've known since I was 15 years old, and just got out in nature as much as we could. But now to be back feels otherworldly. Like it feels like a little bit of a miracle. That's what it feels like. It feels like we're starting something, and it feels like we're pioneering and trailblazing the way in a very safe way. You know, everyone gets tested, you know, everyone's been vaccinated. Most people have been vaccinated. We're all in masks. The audience are in masks. There's the distance. So, you know, it's very carefully curated.
As you mentioned, Atomic Saloon Show is not your first time on the Vegas stage. You were a part of the opening cast of Zumanity, right? Years ago at New York, New York, and performed in that show for a few years, right?
Yeah, we were there for 2 years. I was with my company, Spy Monkey, and Cal McChrystal was the comedy consultant. No, he was the comedy director on Zumanity. And we did 2 years at Zumanity, and still got my buddies to this day who are here. Obviously, Zumanity sadly got closed, but some of them are still here. And then Cal, obviously, was the director for Atomic as well. So, you know, 20 years, it's still this still little tight-knit kind of community is still kind of coming together. In fact, the Zumanity crew came to see the opening night of reopening of Atomic Saloon, and it just, seeing them up there and knowing the trails that we've been on together and the journey that we've been on together, I just, I was welling up with emotion anyway, but that nearly tipped me over. And that made a real firecracker of a show for me.
Cirque du Soleil obviously was a very different company back then. Not quite as huge as it is now, but I'm sure that was still a very unique experience coming to Las Vegas and helping to create this really significant foundation for what I think is one of the all-time greatest shows on the Strip, Zumanity.
Yeah, it was, it felt, again, almost kind of pioneering because it was a very different show for Cirque du Soleil. And Spy Monkey, my company, literally went from a kind of fringe theatre, you know, small black box theatres, you know, playing 200-300, suddenly launched into this massive, I think it was like a 2,000-seater, beautiful bespoke theatre. I mean, it was absolutely gorgeous. And working with these exotic, talented beauties from around the world. And also people who, like Joey Arias, who is, you know, a well-known icon from New York, and Elliot Douglas, who's the pianist that they play together a lot. Meeting these people and making these connections, lifelong connections, was really life-affirming, actually, because, you know, for me, I'd worked in that world a little bit. I'd dipped my toe in, but to do it in such a kind of artistic way was really beautiful. And to be able to put our merit in and our creativity into the show was really, really good. And we were very happy there for 2 years. We knew that we didn't want to do it. You know, we didn't want to stay for the full, you know, some of my mates were in it for the full 17 years, 18 years, that for us it was just a nugget because my company was growing in a different direction. But it was an amazing experience, and it really gelled my company together as well, Spy Monkey, to have gone through a journey like that and to all live there together. We used to call it our Spy Monkey Island because we brought all our families and the kids, and there was like, you know, if we'd have a dinner at someone's house already, that was 11, 12 people. So it was always a party. Yeah, it was great.
I feel like that show in some ways probably laid the groundwork in Las Vegas for the types of shows that Spiegelworld has continued to develop. Do you feel like there are, other than the fact that you are there and that Cal was involved, are there some similarities between the Zumanity experience and the Atomic experience?
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because when we were doing it, we felt like with Spy Monkey, because we're quite edgy, we are very edgy clowns. It was like, ooh, this is a bit like on the, this is a bit, you know, something else for the Vegas audience. And we thought, God, any tougher than us, that's going to be difficult. Cut to, God, when did Absinthe open? And we came to see friends of ours, Foki and Anais, who are, you know, the Penny and the Gazillionaire. And we saw this and we thought, yeah, boom, this is happening. This, the Vegas is now ready. The Vegas audience is now ready. And I suppose in some ways, all sorts of shows kind of paved the way very slowly for that step to happen. You know, there's another show that's sadly not on anymore, which is also trailblazing, which is Amy Misbehaves Game Show, which has another whole different following, very cultish. And I hope so much that that might come back again, because, you know, Vegas has to change. These things have to change. And, you know, it's going in a... And also what happens with shows like Spiegelworld and Amy Misbehave, and there's a new show on at the moment, Hot Trash, which is one of the performers from Spiegelworld, Grace Lusk, who's putting on, and with Meow Wolf and all of that, that it's bringing a whole different kind of artist to Vegas. And it's changing from the kind of, I would say, you know, the circus performers are obviously still here, but it's becoming, it's opening up to a different kind of artist. It's not just for circus performers and dancers, but it's also for people who have got, you know, a big sort of creative bent and producer, creator. And it's opening up a very interesting. And also, I'm when I was here, I wasn't downtown was a very different place. So I'm finding that fascinating. Vegas as a whole is growing in a really interesting and quite remarkable way. And I'm very excited to be here right now, because even though COVID was hit us all hard at a moment when this place was growing, especially downtown. And I never met Tony Hsieh, but my God, I'd heard so many amazing things about that man and what he's doing. And I'm hoping that we can pick off, you know, where we left off, and that it will grow even more because people have had this common ground and this shared experience together and want, you know, want nothing, hopefully, but good to happen to, you know, the entertainment district's industry and the artistic industry and the dance industry and just the industry in general, you know, the bars and the restaurants. And it just feels like it was growing. We got a big slap in the face and now we're picking up the pieces, but we're looking out for each other more. That's what I feel like, that we're looking out. We're more aware and more careful and more prudent and more sensitive and empathetic, I hope. And I hope that will grow into something very fruity.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So we have fruity. What was it like creating the character of Boozy Skunkton, the MC of the Atomic Saloon show?
Well, that's funny you asked that, Brock, because I was asked a similar thing. I was doing this thing with Spiegelworld called Vegas Hit Show, which is a YouTube channel, which I was hosting. And again, that was something that I could get my creative juices flowing over a dry period of COVID. And Grace, who's just taken over as host, somebody asked me that question, and I said that it's actually a slow brewing love affair, because I was with my company Spy Monkey, which are three blokes, Aitor, Stefan and Toby. They're my compadres, and there are the godfathers of my son Richard, their family. But the four of us, between the four of us, we make each other funny, and Toby's the straight man, and I'm always want to be the star of the show. That's my funny within Spy Monkey for 20 years. It's always trying to be the star of the show, and I'm never the star of the show. So suddenly I'm Boozy Skunkton, I'm the boss lady, albeit the kind of main person of the show. And I'm like, oh God, where's my funny now? What do I do now? How do I make this work? And I work with the preacher that was Damien, that's a new person now. So we have this sort of double act going on. But it's been an interesting journey. And if I'm honest, I'm still finding it. It's still growing. I find things all the time, every day, and I'm always working on it. I'm always thinking, which direction is she going to go in? But I've really fallen in love with her. I mean, she's me. Me is her. You know, when you work in clown, it's kind of like the heightened version of yourself. And this is the kind of, she's like a ferocious dog. And then in another sense, she's kind of this very vulnerable, I was going to say hamster, but that's not really the right word. She's just this vulnerable little piglet, who desperately wants to be loved, but isn't quite sure. She doesn't know how. And she wants everyone, to fancy her and like have sex with her, but she's a bit old and she's a bit past it, so she's very, very jealous of all of her saloon workers, particularly Sweet Cheeks. Mm-hmm. So it's also finding all the relationships with all the talented cast members as well, and finding, you know, where they grow. And so she's an ongoing, long-standing love affair, Boozy Skunkton. But I do enjoy playing her every day. I really do. I mean, we do a lot of shows. We're doing 10 shows a week now, Wednesdays to Sundays, and it's straight back in there.
She's definitely a unique character in the pantheon of Vegas entertainment, and I can't wait to see you do it all over again. What else do you want to say to everybody out there who also can't wait to get back to the Atomic Saloon.
I want to say, keep the faith, hang in there, stay mentally sane when and where you can, and it will come. And come and see Atomic Saloon for that adrenaline buzz that, you know, if we can do it, you can do it, without a doubt.
Okay, it's Brock again. So usually right now is when I tell you my picks for live entertainment for the weekend, but I'm going to shift gears and just give you a quick update on what is coming back or just opening brand new in Vegas right now. But if you need to make plans for the weekend, just go to LasVegasSun.com every Friday morning, bright and early, and read my column, Curtain Up, which has even more show news and a breakdown of the events I'm excited about for the weekend ahead. The first show to open at Virgin Hotels Las Vegas makes its debut tonight. It's called 27. It's a musical tribute show, and it takes place in the 24 Oxford venue, the smaller music hall on the property that used to be known as Vinyl during the Hard Rock Hotel days. It focuses on the music of Kurt Cobain, Jimi Hendrix, Jim Morrison, Amy Winehouse, and other iconic artists who tragically passed away at the age of 27. It's a pretty different idea for this type of show, and I'm going to be talking to the producers this week, so stay tuned for more on this new show. What's coming back to the Strip at last this weekend? Basketball. The Las Vegas Aces play their home opener at Michelob Ultra Arena Friday night at Mandalay Bay. This is huge because now we have our pro hoops team just getting started while our hockey team, the Vegas Golden Knights, fighting their way through the playoffs. And off the Strip, superstar DJ and producer Deadmau5 is playing the first show back at the downtown Las Vegas Event Center, also on Friday night. I interviewed the venue's owner, Derek Stevens, about getting this place up and running again. And yes, you can read that piece right now at LasVegasSun.com. That's all for this week's Sun on the Strip. You can find past episodes at LasVegasSun.com/podcasts or listen and subscribe at Apple Podcasts. Special thanks to Petra Massey for joining me this week. Definitely go see the Atomic Saloon show at the Grand Canal Shops. And thank you for listening.